don't
Okay,
know.
Debra, so welcome to Share Today. Let's kind of review what we did yesterday and then move on to today's topic. Yesterday, we focused on what is the source that we are Mechalal Shabbos when someone is ill, right? How come I am Mechalal Shabbos? That was our question, and we pointed out that the Gemara in Yuma seems to have a final source, a Maskana, that's based on B'chai Bahem. However, when we get beneath the hood of the Sugya, we notice that there are a chunk of Rishonim who say that the reason why we're Mechalal Shabbos is because of Chalei Olam Shabbos Achas. And yesterday we presented a number of nafkaminas between these approaches. Now, in the Gemara, of course, the Gemara says that we are Mechalal Shabbos. The source of B'chai Bahem teaches me that Mechalal Shabbos even on a suffix, right? Ashkechon Vaday, suffix Minolan, right? That's the question. The Kula is the Pircha, the Bar Mida Shmuel. Meaning, Shmuel tells me that Mechalal Shabbos even on a suffix. And the question is, what exactly suffix means? So yesterday we kind of went through this briefly, but I want to do more of this today. Suffix means two things. There is suffix whether the person in front of me is a chole or not a chole, or to say it better, whether the person in front of me is a chole for whom I'm allowed to be Mechalal Shabbos or not. That is one type of suffix. There is another type of suffix, which is a suffix whether the treatment will work. No? Two totally different ways of being magdir suffix. We also will talk about certain things which do not even rise to the level of a suffix. Right? You can speak about suffix pekuach nefesh, and there are certain things which are azah far-fetched, right? Just to say that for those of you who don't speak Yiddish, so far-fetched that we are going to say it's not even a suffix.
It's still Yiddish.
And it's still unbelievable. Yiddish, right? The point is there are certain things that it's not even a suffix, and that could also go in two directions. That could go in the direction that the person in front of us has the type of illness which doesn't even rise to the level of being a chole, right? The person is not even a suffix chole. But there's also a case of a medicine, a treatment, which is so unlikely to work that it's not even considered a suffix. So don't be Mechalal Shabbos to use treatment A because it might not even be a suffix. So let's go through a few sources over here. In the old source sheets on page 5. So the Gemara tells us in Yuma that Suffik Nefashos is Docha Shabbos. The Gemara in Yevamos develops a principle called Shomer Psa'im Hashem. Right? The principle basically is that there's Sholosh Noshim Meshamshas B'moch. There are three women that have a heter or a chiyuv, a machlokes in the Rishonim to use some form of contraception. The concern is that these women, if they become pregnant, could end up deathly ill. So the halacha says, Shalosh nashim meshamshas b'moich, ketana me'uberes me'nika. And the Gemara tells us the whole story. And this is Reb Meir's sheet of Zakhbi Gemara. But the Chachomim Oimrim, Achasu v'achasu mishameshes kedarka v'hilechas. Zot the Chachomim, this whole Mishamshes B'moch doesn't apply. half tashmish hamita the normal way. Aye, it might be a suffek. Zok the Gemara, right? Maybe you're going to be deathly ill. You become pregnant, you could end up deathly ill. Zok the Gemara, Tehillim Kuftes Zayin, Shomer Psa'im Hashem. The Ribbono Shel Olam protects you, and you're an idiot. Right? The two things go together. Shomer Psa'im Hashem. God protects you, but Dafman Vissin as du bist ashrita. Right, you're an idiot. That's Shomer Psa'im Hashem.
God protects the idiot.
God protects the idiot. Absolutely. So here's the thing. Right, here's the thing. When I talk about Shomer Psa'im Hashem, what that is it's a fancy way of saying that certain things are not even a whole, certain things are not even a chashash sakana. Right, the Chachamim who disagree with Reb Meir, they say, well, there is some concern that you might become pregnant, and that could mean that you'll die, potentially. Katana Muberes Minika, the Gemara assumes that pregnant woman can become pregnant again, right? Whatever the Metzius is. But Zekalcham Hashem Reb Saim Hashem. Reb Meir obviously has a lower bar. We know throughout Shasr, Meir's Peshinon Lemiyuta. Right, Reb Meir is more of a nervous person. Reb Meir was like a original brisker. He's just like a nervous guy, right? So the Chachamim say no. Shemir Psa'im Hashem. The Gemara also tells me Shabbos Kuf Chav Ches that there are certain days that I'm not supposed to bloodlet because Chveis Mars is in this position, and if I bloodlet, bad things will happen. But no one does this. Shemir Psa'im Hashem. That means, l'cha ayra, that something that everyone does not even enter the gedder of a suffix sakana. And you can't be machal Shabbos for it, even though potentially you could die. Right? Just to give some examples, echveis, no, crossing the street is dangerous. Right? Going skiing is dangerous. But something that everybody does, right, we'll say Shomer Psa'im Hashem, and therefore you can't be Machal Shabbos because it's not dangerous enough. It's a type of thing that everyone will be willing, and everyone in the sense of people who are not extraordinarily nervous, 98% of humans will be willing to assume that level of risk, and therefore it is Bichlal Shomer Psa'im Hashem.
Is it that because people do it, it's Shomer Psa'im Hashem, or people do it because Shomer Psa'im Hashem?
I don't know how much.
Do I a priori, this is the risk involved?
So I don't know how much.
What if everybody goes skiing? Everybody goes, like, and not everybody goes skiing. Maybe 30% of the population goes skiing. I'm 70% that does not go skiing.
Right.
So not everybody goes skiing, everybody crosses the street.
Correct. There is one way of looking at this in terms of risk ratio, in which case maybe your question of how many people do it versus how many people don't do it. There's certain activities which are somewhat dangerous and some people would refrain from. Other activities are less dangerous, right? And fewer people would refrain from it. So that mahalach, that it's based on risk ratio, is the mahalach that we mentioned yesterday in passing as being the mahalach of the Chuvan Reb Kiva Eger, where Reb Kiva Eger uses the term echon mini elef. Now, agreed, echon mini elef is not precise, right? One in a thousand is not precise, but it means that there is a certain quantitative definition of risk that people will be willing to undertake. Now, obviously, when I talk about risk, there are two sides to it. I would take, if I have Rachman Litzlan cancer, I would take the type of drug that can have very serious side effects, right? Chemotherapy is dangerous, no? But if the outcome is much worse, you'd be willing to undergo a certain level of risk. So when the FDA approves a medication, the FDA won't approve the medication unless there is like 20,000 trials and there's a 0.0000 chance of whatever. No? Generally speaking, the FDA does not approve medications. They're working with some quantitative number, but that number depends on what the condition that I have is. Right? Is that reasonable? That's one approach in halacha, that I take a risk factor in a quantitative, numerical way. The Reb Kiva Eger assumes this way. The Mishnah Brura, the Pashtus, is using something like that. Also, the Mishnah Brura uses these terms, Echon Mini Elef, again, assuming that, even if it's not precise, it's saying something quantitative. But the Mishnah Brura says that by Yoledes, even Echon Mini Elef doesn't die from childbirth. That might mean that Yoledes is Teva HaOlam, and therefore, even though in other circumstances you would not be allowed to enter this level of risk, for Yoledes it's okay, it's Teva HaOlam. Right? That is a very fair reading of the Mishnah Brura, which means that I am giving a quantitative definition of risk. Jake, how are you?
I hear that last one clarified, but I think Rebbe might be conflating two things, which is the risk factor and the willingness of people willing to undertake that risk. Like, it's famous in psychology, those two things are not generally associated. For example, people are much more afraid of flying than they are cars, but car accidents are much, you're much more likely that in a car accident.
So comes along Reb Shlomo Zalman, and Reb Shlomo Zalman in that tshuva which I give you, Reb Shlomo Zalman, it's in Chelek Tinyana Simen Lamed Zayin. Reb Shlomo Zalman writes, for a long time I've been very mesupik about what's considered a suffik pikuach nefesh ad eifo hu hagavol. So he says, mitzad ha-sevara nireh d'chol shederach roiv b'nei odom levroach mizeh kiboreach m'pnei ha-sakona harei zeh choshev kesuffik b'kuach nefesh v'karina v'kahai gavna v'chai bohem v'lo shidomos behem aval im ein roiv b'nei odom nefonim u'mifachad mizeh ein zeh choshev sakona k'tzas dugma l'kach hara harkovas ababu os liladem. Right, that is called inoculation, right, vaccination. But the doctor says, right, according to Reb Shlomo Zalman, the definition is Shomer Psalim Hashem applies in a circumstance that people are willing, rave people are willing to kind of go ahead. Right, most people don't feel rushed in a case like, do you have to get your vaccination? You mentioned this passing yesterday. Do you have to get your vaccination now? It's dangerous if you don't have your vaccination, but most people don't feel the intense pressure that dafichtin hangs. Right, most people are willing to wait a little bit. So that is one side of your suffering, right? Because I agree, I was conflating two things. Now, the Binyan Sion, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger, has a third mahalach in terms of the definition of what is called a suffix. It's not quantitative at all. Numbers are not mentioned in Rabbi Shlomo Zalman's presentation. And I happen to think that that is an approach that most poskim say. Bini, is that a hand up?
Yes, Rabbi. So for, what is it for Reb Shlomo Zalman? Most people would be okay with not getting it?
Feel that they have to do it immediately. It's called a sakana for purposes of Shabbos. If people would say, oh, this is like very dangerous, I have to take care of it immediately. I look at, and that means, even if it's not numerically defined, it's not quantitative. People sometimes have, right, very often, our feelings are not based on scientific evidence.
He has a splinter in his toe?
If people... Again, so if this one guy is a Meshuggah and he has a splinter in his toe and he's like, okay.
People freak out. Like,
but if it's the type of thing that most people feel is an urgent thing that has to be dealt with, that is enough to be a sakana. Even though it... We deal splinters expeditiously, but most people, let's be honest, if I get a splinter on a Wednesday, am I going to run to the hospital?
No, you're going to take it out right then and there.
Okay. Again, I'm talking about...
Like
I'm talking about Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana. I'm dealing with Pekuach Nefesh. I'm not dealing with Chol HaSheyesh Bo Sakana.
So again, Rishon was on there saying that it's about whether people feel that their life is in danger.
That's right.
So pandemic, people didn't feel their life was in danger because they,
Right, that's probably correct. And since people didn't feel their life was in danger, even though the situation is going, it's there. Clearly the chayla is present in the world, but people mamish didn't feel like, I have to do this now, like you don't have the panic. Most people didn't feel the intense panic, so there would be no heter to get the shot on Shabbos.
By the time the vaccine came out a couple months ago, at that point, people were, very, very mad about masks and whatnot.
Again, at the very beginning, one of the shaylas that people got a lot was, is there a heter to go for a test on Shabbos? And in those cases, the answer probably is, well, the test ain't going to do anything anyway. Right? Like, so let's say they find out I have COVID. So what do? You monitor it. Right? So that's what you do. It doesn't do anything. Right, so that clearly is not up. Now, the Binyan Sion, however, Rabbi Yaakov Ettlinger in the Tshuva and Siman Kuf Lamed Zayin, the Binyan Sion takes a mahalach, which is that it's called Safek Pekuach Nefesh, as opposed to zero Pekuach Nefesh, if the Chayli is here and present. Let's go slowly. If I am worried about something that might develop, that is not even together something. If something is here, so then it is together something. So if there, people are always worried that maybe this disease will develop, garnished, McGarnished, it doesn't matter. The disease is here, right?
That's what they were saying for years.
The disease is here. Right, in the world, there is something called COVID-19. That's already a suffix pekuach nefesh, no? According to Yaakov Ettlinger's definition. That's a wild idea. If you have a condition, right, and we're going to talk about this later on. If I have a condition, and I have it doesn't mean me. Right, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter no one knows that the story actually happened, but the tradition is that during a cholera epidemic, Rabbi Yisrael Salanter went into Shul and he made Kiddush and he said why he make Kiddush on Yom Kippur again? That's why the story maybe never happened. But he goes into Shul, he makes Kiddush, he says, everybody has to eat. Safek Pekuach Nefesh. I feel perfectly, I'm strong like an ox. I feel gewaldig. Right? What type of suffix pekuach nefesh is it? The answer is, there is a current and present danger. It's here already. That means if I have a condition that already is in me, that is a suffix pekuach nefesh. That's the only yardstick. So if I have an infection can spread and could kill me. No?
Any infection? Like I have strep.
I have strep.
It could be rheumatic fever.
I have strep. I have fever. I have something. We'll talk about fever, I hope, as the day goes on. Mechal Shabbos. That is not, right? That's already a suffix sakana. This opinion, I think, is also not accepted at all. The quantitative opinion is accepted by some poskim, I would say few. The mainstream opinion of halacha is what Reb Shlomo Zalman says, which is based on not science, but hergesh, And the Binyan Siyan's Mahalach is based on, is the danger present? That Mahalach, I think, does is not at all accepted.
Isn't the Meshach divided into more numerical things? Overall?
I don't think Rav Schachter uses numerical stuff over here. Again, Rav, we'll talk about in a few minutes. I won't talk about Rav. But I don't think we're into numerical stuff. I thought Rabbi Willig's on the bus, is it? But I don't know. Again, they're looking at the Astaiti. They're looking at the Astaiti that most people feel that going snowboarding, whatever, is certainly together Shomer Psayim Hashem. Right? Rabbi Yaakov Atlinger would say, well, but the danger is not here yet, no? It's not like there's a disease. There is a condition called a tree that you're going to hit if you're snowboarding, right? I don't think the tree is called a condition, right? Let me hear from Benny, then from Jake. Hi, Benny.
Hi, Rabbi. How do we evaluate the role of Hergesh, especially with something like COVID where everyone's all over the place?
I think it really depends. Right? It could be at the very early stages of the pandemic when people were mamish scared to death about anything. So then, no hanami, right? It's not numerical. What people are worried about is what defines this halacha. Now, yes.
This beginning to seems a little tautological because it seems like almost anything I could fit into is Abdara or fit out of Zachariah. It seems too. Does he give anything better? It seems like I can stretch this to include or exclude whatever I. Does he give anything more specific? It seems like I could stretch the definition to include or exclude whatever I really wanted. Especially if you try to have it include a pandemic because the disease exists. I mean, and then even after a pandemic, I'll tell you
Siyan's Raya is as follows. Zuck the Mishnah in Brachas. Afilu nachush karoch ala kevo. You continue to daven. There's a snake. Right? Why do I continue to daven? This nachush could kill me. No? How come I don't even interrupt my Shmona Esrei. I continue to daven, right? Mabekach, he says, "Ja'anochash eno noshech barov ha'pa'amen. Harei en hochem b'kukuach nefesh acha harov. Ela al korchucha haynu tamo, kevan d'chein, en kan sakonis nefashos." Zera lofi an yistaiti gamkin tamo d'rabbonon, kevan d'ba'odlo nis'abra, en kan sakonis nefashos. There's no sakonas nefashos because the snake is here. It didn't bite me yet. There's no sakonas nefashos because I'm not pregnant yet. When I become pregnant, there's sakonas nefashos. If I'm not pregnant, I'm not sakonas nefashos.
That's the most about the cool in the world.
Well,
no, that's a huge kula. You can do all sorts of things.
I don't know if it's a kula or it's a chumra. It's just
until I'm actually
it's
in
just
a
just it's I just out there. It's a different shita. Again.
I can walk into a war zone until I'm actually shot.
Min hashamayim yirachamu, shelo tovoi lidei sakana.
Rabbi, this is a perfect ride to what I was saying before, because if I were to ask somebody on the street, they could easily tell me that the Nachash case, which is his raya hagufa, would go the other way, because the snake is there.
So if I'm replying, no. Because the sakana is once I get bitten by a snake. There are always snakes there. There are snakes outside everywhere at all times. So right now the snake is in closer proximity to me. That's the only thing. Mali, if the snake is 2 feet away, 20 feet away, 200 feet away, the snake is here. That's not called a clear and present danger because the snake doesn't impact me. So even if the snake is very close to me, says the Binyan Siyan, that's not called a suffix sakana until what?
Mabin zel cholera.
So I think cholera, the hesber is like cholera, COVID-19. The hesber is that there is something that is potentially going to kill me. It's in the air. It is right here. As opposed to the snake, that until it bites me, it's not dangerous at all. Right? There is
the snake is even more so here than the pandemic. Because I don't know if somebody in the room has COVID or cholera, but I do know that there's a snake around my leg.
I would argue the other way. Like, I'm inside. No one in my house has COVID. It's COVID, you know, somewhere else. Why stay in my house? I'll be able
to. I'm not saying anything's wrong. I'm just saying it's too stretchy of outdoor. You can make it incubate whatever
you're
you want.
Saying that you could save a Binyan Siyan and not take it to Rabbi Yisrael Salanter. In other words, it would make more sense in the Binyan Siyan world not to say the Rabbi Yisrael Salanter about cholera.
I'm saying you can go every direction. I'm saying I can include or exclude whatever I want. I could include or exclude and be logically consistent. The snake or cholera, all four combinations work. I'd be logically consistent. I just think it's too clunky of Akdar.
The Akdar is not tight enough. Fair. Now, let's just talk about some other cases which are not even a suffix. You know, Api Halacha, there is a principle of Kokavua Kamachza Machzadami, Kodaparish, maybe Upaparish, right? Meaning, if I have 10 people here and 9 are Goyim, 1 is a Jew, so the Halacha is Kokavua Kamachza Machzadami, I have to assume that's like half Yid and half Goyim. Right, so Mapolas falls on the people. So I'm a Chalal Shabbos, obviously. One person leaves from that group. So I'm a Chalal Shabbos on that one person because I don't know. It's a suffix, Pekuach Nefesh. I don't know if the person who left is a Yid or a Goy. Let's say the whole group leaves. 9 of them go here, 1 of them goes here. So Shulchan Aruch tells me, that's in Shin Chav Tes Se'if Gimel. Shin Chav Tes Se'if Gimel. And the Mishneh Berurah Sif Katan Tes. Nafla Lov Ma'Pailah, Safik Chai, Safik Meis, Safik Husham, Safik Enosham, Afilim Tim Tzalom, Ash Husham, Safik Goy, Safik Yisrael, Mefach Nasal Gal, Afil Yesh Kamis Fekas. Right? Safek pekuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos. Svek sveka pekuach nefesh is deicha Shabbos. Gevaldik. This is talking about when he's up the Mishneh Berurah. My rishah yashom be'is ha'mapoyles. Ve'ina yodua im hispik lotzeis mitoch ha'afecha. Hu adin afil lo ra'ino also mitzvilo lehedya. Rak b'ba'izah mitzuyin b'nei odom be'is hazos. Nami mechalwan. Right? If it's a time that people are around, you machal Shabbos. But if it's at a time that people are not around, you're not going to be machal Shabbos. That's not even a suffeg sakana. Moreover, shin chavtes se'if beis, that's the case I was talking about before, ein hocham pukuach nefesh acha harov, you have 10 goyim, 1 Jew, Pivish echad lechotzer, benafel sham apoyles, mefachen, kevin shenishar kvias harisham bim komo. It's considered machza machza. Avam nekru kulam. Ubishas akirasam pivish echad mehem lechotzer cheres. Venafel olav, ein mefachen olav, kevin shenekar kvias harisham bim komo. Amrin and kode parish merubu parish. Meaning, if the group spreads apart, right? I had a kvias of 10 people. 9 are goyim, 1's a yid. If one person leaves, I say, oh, the person who left might be a Yid. But if everybody left, so then the Mapelas falls on one person, I can follow Roiv and say, Mistoma, that person is not a Yid, and not be Machal Shabbos. That's already, it's not even the Leidas HaSafek. Now, what's the difference between this case when all 10 people left, right? So the answer is that once there's no longer a roiv present, so you do not have to be choshesh. Once there's no longer a kviyas present, I should say, you do not have to be choshesh that the person was a Jew. You're walking in the street of Manhattan, right? There's no, zero suffix that the person is a Jew. In many cases, there's room for a suffix. That seems to be the pshat, but it's, this din is hard to understand. Let's talk about...
Why isn't it a suffix?
What?
Why isn't it even a suffix?
So apparently it's not a suffix.
There were 10 people.
Because there were 10 people.
9 were going, 1 was a Jew.
So that means the strong rive is that it's a guy. Kozman the kvias remains in its place. So I'm going, Kozman, anyone remains in the place, I'm going to say, oh, you know what? I know that there is potentially a Jew here, Machal Shabbos. But if the kvias is gone, right? 9 people go here, 1 person goes here. The kvias is totally gone. So then I have no reason to be mesupak that the guy underneath that building collapse is a Jew.
So does that mean that if it's a less than 1 in 10 chance?
I'm not saying less than 1 in 10.
It's a 1 in 10 chance.
But if I am walking,
there's no kvias. It's a 1 in 10 chance.
I have zero. It's not even a suffix. The halacha doesn't recognize any possibility that the person. It's like mehecha tesi.
A mathematical approach. I mean, who might speak about mathematics? But the entire probability, it's a 1 in 10 chance. It's a Jew.
That's not
your
thing.
Right, so one issue is that we don't follow statistics in halacha. Rav Nachum Rabbeinu Tzachorin Lev Recha wrote his doctoral dissertation on these types of cases to try to argue mathematically. You might actually like this, to argue mathematically why these rules of Kavua make sense.
EF sharp. Including not working with probabilities.
Well, he got his dissertation.
He got a doctorate. Right?
I guess.
So to say that it's EF sharp is, you know, hachush machish. Okay. Now, there are other things which are not even a suffix in halacha, which means that the refuah is not even a suffix. Let's read the first Magen Avraham in Shin Chaf Ches. First, the Magen Avraham tells me that Hashoel Hareza Shofich Damim. The Mechaber tells me if you ask a Shaila, Mapakuach Nefesh, your Shefech Dum, and the time that you're spending asking the Shaila, looking it up in the Sefer, the guy could die on you. Shaila Hareza Shefech Dumim. The Magen Avraham quotes me Yerushalmi, the Hanish Al Hareza Shefech Dumim. If the Shaila gets asked to you, the Rav has a chiyuv to teach people the Din of Pekuach Nefesh. If you get asked to Shaila, that means you are derelicting your duty, and the Rav is chayiv misa. Right? Hanish Al Hareza Shayfech Domin, because he should have been Dairish Barabim. However, Ayin Yeridea Sof Simen Kuf Nunhe, Dibi'in and Shetehe Haruf Harifua Yedua, O Alpi Mumcha. Zokna Magen Avram, I'm only Machal Shabbos if the Rifua is a Rifua Yedua. It is a well known Rifua, or a Rifua that Mumchim attest to. Doctors attest to the refuah. Mumcha, a single doctor, right?
Oh, yeah, before you do it, oh.
Oi, I'll be mumcha.
So even if it's not you do it.
What? No, there is one doctor out there, an expert doctor tells me that this is a good refuah, good enough. But
those are
two separate things.
Oi,
I'll be mumcha. Agreed. Agreed, two separate things in the Magen Avraham. But let's say it's not a refuah yadua. Let's say there is no mumcha around, right? You have an old grandmother. And the old grandmother says that when you are bitten by this particular type of lion, the way to heal it is to go and kill a billy goat between the two mountains and take the blood from that billy goat's tail and drink that blood, and that will heal you. It is homeopathic medicine squared, quintupled up there. Zuk the Magen Avraham, you're not Mechal Shabbos to kill the billy goat, to suck out the blood. You're not Mechal Shabbos. Comes along the Prima Gadim. And he jumps up and down and he spits wood and nickels. And the Prima Gadim says, dude, what are you talking about? Mide sveika lo nafka.
That's the Magen Avraham's mouth around the billy goat.
The Magen Avraham says, you're not Mechal Shabbos for the billy goat case. The Prima Gadim says, Masha Kasab, that you need refuah, you do it. Sarachians like the Prima Gadim. Dibisafik nami, safik pekuach nefesh lahakel. Let's say it's not a refuah yadua. Refuah yadua means everyone knows, people, it's well known. Right? Mumcha means doctors attest to it. Let's say there's something that's not attested to by doctors. It is, people are talking about it, right? But it's not yadua. One guy, Tainas, oh, I heard from my grandmother, right? So the Magen Avraham says, You're not Machal Shabbos. You'll forgive me. I can't wear this now. Now, here's the thing.
Is there a chilek between Shabbos and other Yisurim?
Is there a chilek between Shabbos and other Yisurim? Let's assume for the time being not. And the Magen Avraham is right.
It's a Shabbos issue and
everywhere. And the Magen Avraham brings a raya from Sof. The Magen Avraham brings his raya from Sof Simin Kuf Nun Hey, that we are only going to allow someone to eat treif to heal himself or herself if it is a refu'a yidua. Now, what on earth does this mean? So the traditional understanding is as follows, and this is why I sent you to a Mishnah in Yuma on Pei Gimel. The Mishnah in Yuma speaks about somebody who is bitten by a dog, right? So Mishnah Neshachay Kelev. So are you allowed to feed the person the liver of the dog to heal the person? The Tana Kama says no. Reb Maaseya ben Chorosh says yes. Why not? Why don't they feed the person the liver? So there seems to be a machlekas harishayim. Rashi writes during Yuma Pei Gimel, they don't feed the person the, the liver of the animal, because it's not a refuah gemura, meaning it won't really heal you. Meaning that you have this disease, that you're bitten by a rabid dog, right? That's the case in the Mishnah. You have a disease, bitten by a rabid dog.
Rabid,
R-A-B-I-D.
Rabies,
right? Bitten by a dog that can give you rabies. That's the case in the Mishnah. Like, the dog has, like, foaming at the mouth and stuff like that, right? All the telltale signs of rabies. Zot Rashi, you're not allowed to eat treif because it's not refuah gemura, meaning I know that this really doesn't work completely. You're going to be dead anyway. So why eat the treif? That seems to be the way Rashi says it. The Rambam, however, in the Perish HaMishnah writes, the Rambam writes over there in the Perish HaMishnah that it's a refuah siguli, not a refuah tiv'i. Refuah siguli means we are operating in the world of heebie-jeebie. Right? Let's be honest. Right? Eating the liver of a dog ain't going to help you. If the people who say it's going to help you are people who have been hanging around the heights too much and who knows what they've been smoking, and it's siguli, it is not in the realm of empirical anything. The Rambam writes in the Perish HaMishnah and in the Moira that not only should you not do refuah siguli, but zok the Rambam, if you do it, you are in violation of an iser d'oraisa of lo seilchu v'chukos hagoy v'chukos seim lo seilechu. It's potentially avoid the zara because the stuff just ain't gonna work and it's not evidence based at all.
Even if it's not from behemoth man.
It is siguli, even if it's not from behemoth man. The issue according to the Rambam is not that it comes from a source of treif, but the issue according to the Rambam is that you're not allowed to do refuah that is siguli. Now, what seems to be the pshat in what most assume the pshat in this Magen Avraham is, the Magen Avraham says the refuah has to be yidua. That means it has to be evidence based. Evidence based means as opposed to quack jobs. Evidence based does not mean as opposed to experimental treatments. Okay, experimental treatments are things, let's say, the FDA has not yet approved. But there are real doctors behind it. But it hasn't gone through enough trials to be approved. We're worried that there are some side effects, right? It's experimental. People often, when they have a serious condition, I had a cousin who was nifter very young, younger than I was. He had cancer. towards the end, his parents, his wife, are sending him for these muchazach treatments that who knows, but it was experimental in the sense of there's some doctor somewhere who says that there's some evidence for it. According to the Magen Avraham, that's enough to be Machal Shabbos. But if something is in the world of quackery, that you cannot use Bichal Shabbos. That is not even a suffix. That seems to be the pshat in the Rambam. Yeah.
I don't know what's making us want to say that the Rambam and the Magen Avraham are necessarily agreeing. I would say, wouldn't Rafu Yidua, the case was where one grandmother tells you that whatever, but if the town has a Masayra and everybody knows that you eat that you do a thing, wouldn't
that's
that
called Rafu Yidua.
But that's not evidence based.
No, well, there's evidence in the sense of if it's Yidua that it helped. I'm understanding like that.
If it's Yidua, it helped. There were things that were done for thousands of years that we now know don't.
But in other words, you have what's it called where they put the pigeons?
Let's call it bloodletting.
Bloodletting work, right? Bloodletting people did all the time.
Turns out at the end of the day, it's terrible for you.
Right, but they had some evidence for it because people said that, oh, I know Reuven got better from this. That's considered Yadua.
But the Rambam would answer it.
I don't think so. The Rambam never answered bloodletting. The Rambam was a doctor. He did bloodletting every single day.
Right, but if the Rambam knew what we know now, he would have answered bloodletting, even though it was Yadua.
Oh, from Vadi over here.
If there's a treatment that's not evidence-based, but everybody says it.
If it is.
Vitamin C for a cold. Everybody says it, even though no doctor has ever said it. Everybody on the street will tell you if you have a cold, take vitamin C.
Chicken soup.
So is that cool? So again, I think that's a fair thing. Is it Siguli?
I would say that the Rambam would ask it, and the Magen Avraham would allow it.
Maybe. I mean, you might be right. In other words, I'm trying to conflate the Magen Avraham and the Rambam. You're arguing not to put the two together. You might be correct. I'm not saying that you're wrong. But let's just say Rambam.
Is
the
chukas ha'gayim that chicken soup and rice when you have a cold?
Again, obviously there's no isn't chicken soup.
No, but it's
not. What am I doing wrong?
It's chukas ha'gayim. It's quackery. It's homeopathic medicine. Chicken soup's going to make you better?
No, but it's also my chogaria. Again, it might be quackery in the sense of if you say, but like I can want chicken soup. I can drink chicken soup. It's quackery if I think my chicken soup is going to help me. So the Rambam might say that's a din of lotel chol b'chukos hagoy. That could be. It should be suffik b'kuach nefesh. The Radvaz in the Tshuva asks, how come the Rambam asers refu'a siguli? It should be suffik b'kuach nefesh. And in this Tshuva, the Radvaz is chelek hei simen kuf nun gimel. So he says that the Rambam assumes that it is not considered the fu'a klal of ikar. However, there are poskim who say that if something is siguli, I can do it li yisuve daita. Right? Meaning, if someone's a chayla sheyesh bo sakana, so I can be mechal Shabbos for that woman who is in childbirth to light a candle, even though it won't help her klal v'ikar, will make her feel better. It will relax the nerves. Stress can cause very serious things. So chicken soup is no worse if it's yisuve daita. But if there's no issue of yisuve daita, if the person is there like unconscious from some bite of who knows what, and like some quack, right, some shaman passes by with shemen of the shaman and says, take this stuff and it's going to work. Right? Take this stuff. So that, Zuck the Rambam, that's before Sigli, that is Mamish Usser. Now, the Rebbe, the Tzemach Tzedek, in the Tshuva Simen Lamed Ches, the Tzemach Tzedek has an interesting ha'ara. He says, the Rambam writes that in the Perish HaMishnah, that before Sigli is Usser. But go through all of the Rambam in the Yad HaChazaka. Shreit Nishkein Mol, that there is an Isser of doing Refu'ah Sguli. He never writes it. Zuck the Rebbe the Tzemach Tzedek, Maimonides changed his mind. This is mamish very relevant. Again, homeopathic medicine is a quackery. Yeah.
On the Shema said that, but that would be very difficult to say given the fact that he writes in the Morah, which is an after the Yad, same thing.
The Rambam in the Morah presents is the Rambam as a philosopher. I do a palgin on Gavra, and I assume that the Rambam of the Morah is not the same as the Halachist Rambam. I think that he doesn't quote the Rambam in the Morah, but I think
you're going to do that for Halacha? Wow.
The halachic text is the Rambam in the Yad. The Rambam in the Yad never says Refuah Skuli is Osir. Right? And he never says, now again, the question is, for the Rambam, Refuah Skuli is going to be Osir even on a Wednesday. Right? The Ramban and others feel that Lo Telchu B'chukos HaGoy has a more narrow definition, so it could be it's Mutter on a Wednesday, but it could be I can't do it on a Shabbos. To be Machal on Shabbos for Refuah Skuli, right? The Rashba writes in the Tshuva, you can. It's at least a subject of Kuach Nefesh. But many assume that you can't be Machal Shabbos for a Fu'as Guli, excepting the Rambam. Rashi disagrees. Well, some say Rashi doesn't disagree with the Rambam. This is the whole literature. Is there a Machlekes Rashi and Rambam? I was looking last night and early this morning. I think my old chavrusa Josh Flug wrote an article about these types of homeopathic weird sort of cures. There's a whole thing out there, often from like Far Eastern medicine.
The current treatment for tuberculosis is based on Chinese medicine from like 2,000 years ago.
Okay. I mean, like, but acupuncture. I hope I'm not bursting any sacred cows over here with the needles of acupuncture, but... it doesn't help, right? A voodoo doll doesn't heal me at all, right? If I have a pain in my stomach and you take that doll and you stick a thing, right? The Rambam is going to say that's mamish usser, and to be machal Shabbos for that, for sure not. For sure not. I mean, so the question really is...
It works for some things, not for...
The question is, where do I draw the line between Refu'ah Skuli and Refu'ah Tiv'i? Right? Homeopathic cures, are they Skuli or Tiv'i? Right? They are... In our world, we would say they are not evidence-based. But for the Magen Avraham, certainly, it's Al Yidei Mumcha. For the Rambam, right, he says something that's attested to by a rofe. Well, how do I determine what's a rofe? If someone has a licensed medical degree, that's a rofe. Mehechatesi, right? In the time of the Rambam, no one was licensed as a rofe.
And even the Rambam said we would consider non-evidence-based.
Well, the Rambam...
By our monitors of evidence-based medicine, everything the Rambam
said... What I'm arguing is I don't know where to draw the line between Refu'ah Skuli and Refu'ah Tiv'i.
The Rambam in his Tabura said that if he said, according to the Rambam, Hershing Shires of
you.
Nisayon v'higayon.
Of what?
Nisayon v'higayon.
Yeah, Nisayon v'higayon. So homeopathic medicine...
It's been so easily dismissed, no one ever studied it, like in terms of Nisayon. Higayon, yeah, and you stop it wouldn't work because it's such small quantities. So my mother always said, she's like, she's a chiropractor, and she's like, homeopathic remedies, it's at least placebo effect, because like it's so diluted in 1 billion trillion.
Again,
wait, can I just clarify the term? Are we using homeopathic in the broad sense or the narrow sense of the specific field of homeopathy, which is like the super highly diluted, or are we speaking all of home remedies, calling it homeopathic?
I think
there's a huge difference.
I think home remedies are probably, many of them are siguli, meaning that there's no higayon behind them, right? But who knows? Like, I'm not sure. I am not sure what the Rambam, we have to go and daven mincha. I'm not sure what the Rambam means by siguli. I think it's an important question that we have to figure out. I should probably close the shir before I close my computer. Okay, Chevra.
That was a